You're listening to The Maggie Don Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie's senior producer, Jamie Martinson. Maggie is off over the next couple of days. She'll be back later this week. But in the meantime, enjoy some best-of moments from The Maggie Don Show. Over the next few minutes, you'll hear from Sean Fetteplace of the Main Street Alliance.
Happy hump day. It's Wednesday, and I hope it is as lovely where you are as it is where I am. I needed a little bit of a breather today, if you know what I'm saying, everybody. Took my dog for a long walk in the sunshine and 40-degree weather. Didn't even put on a coat. Hope you've got a chance to gather yourself, get outside, and take care of yourselves. We're going to take care of some business and some politics here today. Plenty to talk about, but don't forget, everybody, it is Wednesday, and that means at 3:30 this afternoon, we are going to have the segment Over the Hump and Trump, where we collectively come together and talk about what brings us joy and healing and what helps us get through these moments, because it is crazy this week, no exception. And I'm so very glad to have a fantastic guest joining me at the top of the show today. His name is Sean Fetteplace. He heads up and helps lead the Main Street Alliance. They were one of the parties that filed suit yesterday to stop the implementation of, the memorandum from the Office of Management and Budget that was probably one of the worst legally unsound pieces of gobbledygook I've ever seen come out of a federal executive branch office department. Welcome to the Maggie Don Show. Sean, welcome one and all. So happy to have you join us today to make sense of the breaking news just within the last couple of hours us getting on the air.
Excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
So just before we were about to start the show this afternoon, saw news dropping. It's not a lot of news. It's just a little bit of news because nobody knows what it means. Apparently, the Trump White House reversing course today. Of course, a federal judge enjoining the OMB memo late last night, but rescinding it today with basically no further instruction. So again, another memo this morning from this guy, Matt Vaith, acting director of the White House Office of Management and Budget, states that yesterday's memo, OMB Memorandum M/25/13, is, quote, rescinded. Okay. What's going on, Sean? Help us understand.
Yeah, so the memo went live late Monday, and it was like a chaos grenade got thrown because people didn't know what it meant. I didn't know what it meant. I read it quickly. I went to sleep. I have an 8-year-old at home, so I go to sleep kind of early and woke up and then really fully realized this means that basically anything that isn't defense, Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, and isn't like staff at the agencies was frozen. You know, student loans, if you're trying to apply for new student loans, like FAFSA wasn't working. Our Medicaid portal in Wisconsin for the state gets money from the feds to pay for that. That was frozen. That's, I looked at the math. It's about $500 million a month that we get from the feds to administer our Medicaid program. And there were nonprofits. I'm here at Garver Feed Mill, which is a lovely place, and they have great pizza and coffee. So it's my favorite place to come during the day. And there was a nonprofit here that a significant amount of their full funding comes from the federal government, and they didn't know if they were going to make payroll. So it really had a really negative impact. And thankfully, the courts have intervened. But the White House seems to be trying to get cute and saying that it's rescinded, but we're still doing it. It's very unclear at this point what's happening, but we're going to hold their feet to the fire.
Well, my thanks to you, Sean, for being part of that lawsuit. A judge in the District of Washington, D.C., a federal Article III judge enjoining the implementation or enforcement of that Memorandum M-25-13. I had a discussion with one of my colleagues yesterday afternoon, Sean, about whether the point is chaos. And I have made the argument, and I stand by this, that chaos is a byproduct, but chaos is not the point. The point is, one, creating fear and anxiety. And I think in many ways, when you couple it with the executive order attacking DEI, whatever that is, right, a definition which seems to change every day, attacking DEI, attacking climate-related policies, that the point is, when coupled with all of the other actions that the Trump administration is taking, the threat of law enforcement, prosecution of local law enforcement, if they do not allow local law enforcement to be co-opted in the business of enforcing federal law, which is not what's supposed to happen under basic principles of federalism. Now firing assistant U.S. attorneys for doing their job, launching an internal investigation into U.S. attorneys and investigators in the Department of Justice who followed orders and completed January 6th investigations and prosecutions, removing the security details for now apparently included newly today, Jim Mattis, removing security clearances. This is to create fear. And with that fear and the threat of things like losing your job, your livelihood, and the threat of potential criminal prosecution, to get people to do what they know Trump wants without even having to put something like OMB memo M-25-13 in place. That's what I think's really going on here. What do you think the objective is here?
I personally think that there are obviously a lot of people involved with Project 2025, Heritage Foundation, and other folks that really, you know, as much as they talked about during the campaign, you know, this isn't real, like this is not what we're all about, it became very clear that in the early days of this new administration that they were approaching it like they were landing on Normandy, where they were putting their political appointees right away into these agencies and really working to implement a lot of their ideas. If you looked at the metadata, metadata being like if you look at a file, you can tell like who wrote something. Yes. The memo that was written by the OMB was actually drafted by members of Project 2025 and Heritage. And so they're really the ones in charge right now, not Trump. And he you know, has the things he's passionate about, immigration, tariffs. He thinks he's, you know, President McKinley. And I don't think I, looking back at that time fondly, as far as economics
go, it's like, weird.
Yeah, like it really is quite strange. And so so that is very concerning because these folks are prepared, they are determined, and it's up to us to really push back.
Folks, that is Sean Fetteplace. He is with Main Street Alliance, an advocacy group here in the state of Wisconsin. They were one of the plaintiffs that filed suit alongside others yesterday seeking the enjoinment, the halting of the implementation of this bizarro memo from the Office of Management Budget in the Trump White House. Sean, let's get into what comes next with this directive, as well as the other extraordinarily vaguely worded executive orders attacking DEI, specifically as to this funding halt that they attempted to do late Monday, which blew up yesterday, which got enjoined yesterday by a federal judge. What's the next thing people should be looking for in the evolution of this particular effort by the Trump administration to stop funding essential public services that many of us rely on across the state of Wisconsin?
So I would say, first off, let your member of Congress know how you feel about this. I would go to mainstreetalliance.org. We very helpfully have a pop-up petition that you can fill out right now to let them know that this is not okay. Next steps are, it appears what the Trump administration is trying to do is they're trying to say, because the litigation was related to the memo, then the memo doesn't exist anymore. They could just keep doing what they're going to do. And right, just without the memo being there, that's, I think the judge is not going to be happy with that, you know, cute effort by them. And so I would expect the judge to come back and say that's not acceptable. It's going to continue through the legal process. And ultimately, it is rather unclear. Right now, my understanding is that these other, this other EO, executive order they did on the Green New Deal and on like DEI stuff, that that's still in effect. And like the general freeze is not happening. But mm-hmm. we just don't know because the White House is not being clear about that. So I think the main thing is to keep the pressure up. The main recourse here is through the legal process. But, you know, you both need to win in the court and the court of public opinion. And so contact your lawmakers, let them know that this is not okay.
Yeah, I think that's so critical. Again, you can go to mainstreetalliance.org. I got the email, the website correct there, Sean, mainstreetalliance.org. And you can find out who your elected representatives are. Call them up. Let them know that this sort of, whack in the broadside of a barn and approaching federal funding and grant programs like this is both stupid and harmful and places Wisconsinites' lives at risk, including the lives and livelihoods of you and many that you know. I'm hearing from Sherry from Horicon on the text line saying, hey, I'm on Badger Care. What's going on? I rely on this to live. Sean, let's turn to Badger Care. Medicaid, that's what we call it here in the state of Wisconsin. There has been so much discussion here in the state of Wisconsin about whether or not we should expand Medicaid and cover tens of thousands of more Wisconsinites. And frankly, Robin Voss single-handedly appears to be the single person that stands in the way of ensuring that more Wisconsinites, including people that you may know, listeners, can get the health insurance and health care that they so desperately need. Why is Robin Voss taking this position, Sean? I don't get it.
He's taking this position because of insurance companies and ultimately the hospitals. It originated really because Scott Walker was running for president and he didn't want to be seen as taking Obamacare. At one point, Scott Walker was actually second in the primary and then pretty spectacularly blew up and got nowhere. I think he didn't make it to Iowa. And
it was the only thing that was good about that election cycle was Scott Walker's like epic implosion, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of Republican union members in Iowa, so he didn't really have a constituency there to be able to win. But he held the line on that. And then it was like a political calculation for them to say, we're not taking this because of political reasons. And then over time.
Oh, we may have lost Sean there for a moment. We're going to work to
you. Can you?
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, I am.
We're going to pause Sean for a second, take care of that little tech problem. We'll be right back. My name is Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked right here. Our discussion of Badger Care and Medicaid expansion in the state of Wisconsin continues with Sean Fetteplace of Main Street Alliance after these brief messages.